The third and final book in the premier novel series for Christian women is out. The latest in the Anthems of Zion series is titled The Harvest Rays. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guest Katie Schuerman. Learn more about The Harvest Rays at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Harvest Rays, the Issues Etc. book of the month for August, 1-800-325-3040. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. She is often, she's often confused with her husband sometimes. I don't think it happens every time, but when a pastor's wife is there, it's almost in the minds of parishioners sometimes like the pastor's there too. It's a difficult relationship sometimes because the pastor's there as the shepherd of the flock. What does that make her? Is she sub-shepherd? There are a lot of churches where a pastor is considered the pastor and his wife is considered a pastor too, just kind of automatically. But is that true? Is that actually what a pastor's wife is called to do? Joining us to talk about the vocation of pastor's wife, part one of our conversation with her, Katie Schuerman. She's a pastor's wife, a church musician, a speaker, and author of the Issues Etc. book of the month for August, a novel that focuses on the life of a pastor's wife, The Harvest Rays. Katie, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It's great to be here.
We know who the pastor's called to serve. He's called to serve first as husband to his wife and father to his children, and then, of course, as shepherd to the flock that is the congregation. In the case of the pastor's wife, who is she called to serve?
I find it helpful to look at Luther's Table of Duties whenever I am asked the question, who is the pastor's wife to serve? Because when we flip through the Table of Duties, there's not a specific label that says pastor's wife. But I do find that I am married to a pastor. I'm married to Michael Schuerman. And when I'm looking through that table of duties to try to figure out how my life should look in service to my neighbor, I find that as a pastor's wife, I fit very much under the title and topic of what the hearers owe their pastors. Because while I am married to my pastor, I am also a layperson who sits in the pew every Sunday and every feast day and every holy day, and I hear my pastor preach God's word to me. And so my duty to my pastor is no different than any other layperson when it comes to how I am to hear him, how I am to respect him, and how I am to submit myself under that word that he preaches and under his authority as a servant of the word. And, you know, as I flip through the table of duties too, the other part of my life that is wrapped up in the title of pastor's wife is that I am the wife of my husband. And so just like any other wife in Christendom, you know, my duties to my husband are to submit to him as to the Lord. And sometimes I think the title of pastor's wife takes on a folklore authority that is not actually there. So my vocation is very simple. I am to serve my husband, who also happens to be my pastor. But since I'm married to the pastor, and since my husband has taken vows to serve his congregation as their pastor, my circle of neighbors gets pretty big pretty quickly. Because since as he is serving his congregation, those are also the people near and dear to me who are in my everyday life, and I get to serve them too. But I serve them in different ways than my husband does.
So let's deal with something you just mentioned there a moment ago, and that is often people think of the pastor's wife as kind of co-pastor, having some kind of responsibility beyond that of a parishioner and wife of the pastor to the congregation, or perhaps having some extra authority in the congregation, because after all, she's the pastor's wife. How would you address those two things?
Well, I was married to my husband for a few years before he decided to enter the seminary and then before he was called to serve as a pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So I was sitting in the pews during his ordination, and there are a couple of significant things that happened at his ordination that still instruct me today. And one of them is that my husband is the one who was asked to come forward before the congregation and to make promises to the congregation and how he would serve them. And his promises or his vows were to preach and teach the word to the congregation that called him, you know, to baptize, to absolve sins, to be a good steward of the mysteries of God, you know, of his gospel and of his means of the gospel. And something significant that happened during my husband's ordination is that I was not asked to come up and stand and make the exact same vows. And that's because I was not being called to be the pastor to these people. My husband was. And after my husband made his promises publicly, and after there was the laying on of hands, the pastor who actually ordained my husband then did something else that I think is very instructive. He then asked me to come up before the congregation, and I remember being terrified because that was not written in the bulletin that I was following during the service. But he asked me to come forward then for a different reason, and that was to actually instruct and to exhort the congregation then that here is the pastor and his family. We have not been blessed with children, and I'm sure if we had been blessed with children, he would have asked our children to come up also. But he basically explained to the congregation, as this man, as this pastor serves you, you also have, you know, duties as hearers to your pastor, and here is his family, and you are to take care of all of them, and you are to pray for them. And it was so helpful to me as a pastor's wife because it really reminded me of my vocation and of who I am. And that's that even if sometimes people might think that I have more authority than I do just because I am one flesh with the pastor, all I have to do is think back to my husband's ordination service and remember, no, it is my husband who was called by the people of God to serve Christ and his church as a shepherd. I just happen to be married to him, and my duty is to take care of him and to love the people, to serve them in mercy. And the people that I'm called to serve are my neighbors, and all I have to do is look around in the pews and I see them. And I think maybe something that is a little different about a pastor's wife than about any other wife who's sitting in the pews is that, you know, there's a certain visibility to my vocation as a pastor's wife. We have one pastor at our congregation. I know there are other congregations that have more than one pastor, but as is consistent with our Christian doctrine, those pastors only have one wife each. And so we pastors' wives are a minority in the church and definitely in our congregation. But there is a certain visibility to us because, obviously, they are looking to their pastor to shepherd them, and we are often by their side in life. We live in the same house as the pastor. We're attending the same services as the pastor. And so by our visibility, by our location alone, you know, we have an intimacy with everybody's pastor. Not that we are intimate with everybody's pastor, but when our husband is that pastor, we have a special intimacy with him beyond what others do. And, you know, that's another thing that maybe makes us look like we have more authority than we do. But I find that probably everybody in their own specific roles in life and their own specific vocations, they probably have certain challenges that call them to rise above their sinful nature to serve their neighbor. And one way the pastor's wife is called to rise above her own sinful nature is we must guard ourselves against seeking more authority than we have been given. One way that that is made manifest is that, you know, because the pastor is hearing confessions of his people, because the pastor is with people during very intimate, private parts of their lives, especially in times of suffering, we pastors' wives must really guard ourselves against seeking to know things that we shouldn't. You know, one way we can protect the pastor and his congregation is by, you know, respecting and understanding the vow he took in his ordination. That I think one of the colloquialisms of it is that when they hear a confession, that confession dies in their ears. And we wives are to respect that. We're not to ask questions. We're not to pry. And what we are in a position to do is to pray. If our husband gets called out in the middle of the night and we don't know to where he is going, well, we know the Lord who looks after him, and so we pray to the Lord on his behalf and on behalf of whoever he is serving. And so sometimes our location and our visibility makes us maybe appear to be a queen next to the king, but that's not the case of the pastor's wife. We are the wife of the pastor. We are a hearer of the word, and we are servants of mercy just like every other lay person. We just happen to live with the one who shepherds them.
Katie Schuerman is our guest. We're talking about the vocation of pastor's wife. When we come back, what is the pastor's wife then free to do in the gospel in the congregation? Stay tuned.
Why are there four Gospels? What happens to unborn babies when they die? What does it mean to fear God? Find faithful, Bible-based answers to tough theological questions when you read the August issue of The Lutheran Witness, a magazine of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Visit cph.org/try-Lutheran-Witness to get 6 issues for only $6.99. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300: Trinity Lutheran, Brooklyn, New York; Hope Lutheran, Birmingham, Alabama; Our Savior Lutheran, Paradise, California; St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan; Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado; Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Kimberling City, Missouri; the Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Salinas, California; St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin; and St. John's Lutheran, Colton, California. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org and click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkham. We're talking about the vocation of pastor's wife on this Thursday afternoon. Katie Schuerman, a pastor's wife, church musician, speaker, and the author of the Issues Etc. book of the month for August, The Harvest Raise, is our guest. Katie, before the break, you were talking about some of the things, some of the pitfalls that are tempting to the pastor's wife. Now let's turn to what the pastor's wife is free in the gospel to do in service of the congregation. How would you describe it?
Using the first person, I am free to serve my family in Christ in mercy and love. I am free to bear the burdens of my neighbors. I'm free to pray for them. I'm free to pray for my pastor, for my husband. I'm free to adorn myself with good works. And sometimes those good works take the form of, you know, serving on the altar guild or singing in the choir or teaching Sunday school. For myself specifically, I lead Sunday school music, and that is a great joy for me. And I get to do those things not necessarily because I am the pastor's wife, but I am free to do them as a pastor's wife. I can be what I like to call a holy seamstress. I can make banners for the church. I can help with VBS. I can show up on work days when we're having, you know, days where we care specifically for the church property. I can bake cookies for my pastor. And where I am in, again, location-wise, I'm in a specific vocation where I live with my pastor. So there are other ways that I can serve the congregation by serving my pastor, specifically by taking care of his physical needs, making sure that he eats lunch in the middle of the day, making sure that he gets sleep, you know, making sure, well, honestly, I can go back to that table of duties and I can actually read what is expected of my husband. You know, I can see what is expected biblically of the overseer of the church. And I see that he's to be above reproach. He's to be the husband of one wife. He's to be temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. I can look through these lists of expectations and I can be watching him on his behalf and helping remind him maybe when there's something he should be doing that he hasn't been able to make time for. I can kind of be a guardian of those things because I see him so often and I live with him and I can encourage him. I can exhort him. I'm in a special position to do that. And that's a vocation that I hold very dear to my heart because my pastor only has one wife and it happens to be me. What an intimidating, awesome reality.
Let's talk a little bit about the challenges that face a pastor's wife. How would you describe some of those?
I'm sure they're different for every individual pastor's wife. Speaking from my own experience, my challenges stem from my own sin, the self-sins. Boy, I can really well up in my self-pity or my self-righteousness. And one of the challenges of being a pastor's wife is you do that very publicly. Again, there's a visibility to the life of the pastor and his family. And I'm sure that's true of any individual who's called to a vocation where they are serving a large group of people. Sometimes it's referred to as the fishbowl life. And maybe this is an odd thing, and maybe I shouldn't admit this on the air, but we actually have a window in our house, in our home, that is quite large. And I intentionally do not hang any curtains over it or any blinds because it is a physical reminder to me that I want to be living my life in a way that can be witnessed by many. You know, we live amongst a cloud of witnesses in the church, and especially as the pastor's family, I know people are watching. And I don't have the expectation to be perfect in front of them. I can't be. I think that would actually be a false doctrine that I would be trying to live out in front of them. But I do want to remind myself that I am to be living in service to them. And one of the ways I can do that is by trying to lead a holy, decent, and pure life. And so one way I remind myself of that is by I have a window at our home that probably people can peek in at any time. I don't want to hide behind something and feel a false sense of security in my private life. You know, I want to be reminded, too, that the Lord sees all things that we do. So that's one way that I cope with the fishbowl life is just I accept it. I acknowledge it. In fact, I think if we're honest with ourselves, everybody lives in a fishbowl. nothing we do escapes the notice of our Lord. But sometimes that can be a challenge because, of course, all of us being sinners, sometimes when you're in a fishbowl, other people sin against you. And that can be hard to cope with. But while that is a challenge as a pastor's wife to be sinned against, it's no different than any other person in the church, and we have great instruction and guidance from our Lord on how to handle those things. And one is that we are to be forgiving in all things because we have been forgiven great things by our Lord, and in him we can forgive others. Along those lines, I think something that can be tricky, that can be a challenge as a pastor's wife is because you're in that fishbowl, sometimes you can be at the center of gossip in a community, but we are not to gossip ourselves. And so that can be a challenge. But those challenges, I think, are ways that our Lord disciplines us in this life too. And I have learned about myself that I actually really want to gossip. I want to justify myself and my behaviors. I want to justify my husband. I want everybody to like us. And in those challenges, I am spiritually disciplined. I'm reminded, first of all, that it is an idol I have made of myself if I want people to be in our church because they like me or because they like my husband. That is the wrong reason to be in church. The reason to be in church is to receive the gifts of Christ and to faithfully hear his word, to gather together and to take care of each other. And in these challenges that I face as a pastor's wife, I think it's actually just been something that reveals to me my own sin. Sometimes the challenge can be that because your husband is living so publicly, so do the pastor's children. And we are not in this particular situation, but we have many godchildren who are the children of pastors and their wives. And sometimes the children get persecuted a little bit. And that's, again, that's just because in any community, when we all live together, we get disappointed with each other. We get angry with each other. But those challenges are great opportunities to turn to our Lord once again, to turn to Him in prayer, to trust in Him to make things right, to trust in Him to work in the hearts of people through His Word, and through that servant of the Word, through our husbands, through our pastors, and to forgive freely. And I had a pastor in Michigan remind me recently that even coming to the altar for the Lord's Supper, you know, sometimes it can be difficult to kneel there and receive the body and blood of Christ, because maybe sometimes there are a lot of different persecution situations going on and you don't feel reconciled to everyone, or somebody might be angry at you or angry at your husband. And this pastor reminded me that we especially need to go to the Holy Supper then, because Christ's body and blood forgives our sins and forgives others' sins. And so even when wrongs have been done to us, we can go and be refreshed in the Holy Supper and be at peace. And it's also an opportunity to, I think this is another blessing of being a pastor's wife, is we're coming to the altar often. Our lives are structured by the liturgical church year. We have opportunity to go to church often when you're in the pastor's family. And that is a blessing. And because we're approaching the altar often, again, we're being disciplined and reminded to be reconciled to our neighbors that we sin against as well. And so it's strange, Pastor Wilkin. Every challenge that I can think of actually, in turn, turns out to be a blessing, a discipline from our Lord. And so while I want to complain about challenges, I can't, because they're the very things through which the Lord instructs me.
Katie Schuerman is a pastor's wife, church musician, and speaker. She's authored The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for August. You heard her talk about it. The Harvest Raised, the latest in the Anthems of Zion series. This is a great fictional account of life in a beautiful little town and a beautiful little congregation. You can find out more about it on any page of our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order The Harvest Raise, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Katie, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Pastor Wilkin.
And Katie will return for part two of our conversation on the vocation of pastor's wife next time on Issues, Etc. In hour two of Issues, Etc., Pastor Jonathan Lang is going to join us, bring us a little bit of an update on that Wyoming judge, Ruth Neely, who is now making an appeal to the Supreme Court of the United States because she was removed from her status as a magistrate because she simply talked about her beliefs about homosexual marriage, not even in her capacity as a judge. She was called by a reporter and just was honest to the reporters. Question. She was removed. She's appealing it to the Supreme Court. We'll see what the issues are surrounding that and the issue that faces all of us, especially Christians, when it comes to religious liberty. Then a little later, an hour or two of Issues, Etc. It's our series, Christ in the Old Testament, part two of Psalm 18, The Lord is My Rock and My Fortress, with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. Hour two in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.